You would have searched a long time for the sort of winding lane or tranquil meadow for which England later became celebrated. There were instead miles of desolate, uncultivated land. Here and there rough-hewn paths over craggy hills or bleak moorland. Most of the roads left by the Romans would by then have become broken or overgrown, often fading into wilderness. Icy fogs hung over rivers and marshes, serving all too well the ogres that were then still native to this land. The people who lived nearby, one wonders what desperation led them to settle in such gloomy spots, might well have feared these creatures, whose panting breaths could be heard long before their deformed figures emerged from the mist. But such monsters were not cause for astonishment. People then would have regarded them as everyday hazards, and in those days there was so much else to worry about. How to get food out of the hard ground, how not to run out of firewood, how to stop the sickness that could kill a dozen pigs in a single day and produce green rashes on the cheeks of children. In any case, ogres were not so bad, provided one did not provoke them. One had to accept that every so often, perhaps following some obscure dispute in their ranks, a creature would come blundering into a village in a terrible rage and, despite shouts and brandishings of weapons, rampage about, injuring anyone slow to move out of its path. Or that every so often an ogre might carry off a child into the mist. The people of the day had to be philosophical about such outrages. In one such area, on the edge of a vast bog in the shadow of some jagged hills, lived an elderly couple, Axel and Beatrice. Perhaps these were not their exact or full names, but for ease, this is how we will refer to them. I would say this couple lived an isolated life, but in those days few were isolated in any sense we would understand. For warmth and protection, the villagers lived in shelters, many of them dug deep into the hillside, connecting one to the other by underground passages and covered corridors. Our elderly couple lived within one such sprawling warren, building would be too grand a word, with roughly 60 other villagers. If you came out of their warren and walked for 20 minutes around the hill, you would have reached the next settlement, and to your eyes this one would have seemed identical to the first. But to the inhabitants themselves there would have been many distinguishing details of which they would have been proud or ashamed. I have no wish to give the impression that this was all there was to the Briton of those days, that at a time when magnificent civilizations flourished elsewhere in the world, we were here not much beyond the Iron Age. Had you been able to roam the countryside at will, you might well have discovered castles containing music, fine food, athletic excellence, or monasteries with inhabitants steeped in learning. But there is no getting around it. Even on a strong horse in good weather, you could have ridden for days without spotting any castle or monastery looming out of the greenery. Mostly you would have found communities like the one I have just described, and unless you had with you gifts of food or clothing, or were ferociously armed, you would not have been sure of a welcome. I am sorry to paint such a picture of our country at that time, but there you are.